Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. And joining me co-hosting today is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Steve Jordahl is filling in for Fred Jackson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
Well, folks, we told you on Friday, Fred had a heart attack at our offices here on Thursday. And he is in the hospital, resting and recovering. His life was saved by CPR being performed by our staff here who found him. I'll let Steve comment on that. And then also some fine work by the EMTs and the ambulance staff who got here and rushed him to the hospital. So he is, as I say, resting, and should they expect a full recovery. But Steve, you were in the newsroom when Fred was found unconscious, right?
I found him, and it's something I never want to go through again. My only comment would be, folks, if you have a chance, take a CPR class. Mm-hmm. You never know.
That's a good point.
You as well as Kendra White,
myself,
performed
and Kendra White
CPR
on for until the paramedics got there.
Yeah. Which was about a 7-8 minute.
It was pretty quick, actually, for what you expect. Yeah. I mean, you hope they get there quickly, but it didn't seem. And I know things from my perspective, the timing of this was probably distorted because so much was going on. But I think they were outstanding response from emergency technicians, and it appeared to me, although I have not that much experience with heart attacks, but it appeared to me to be a fairly serious event.
Fred was unconscious.
He was unconscious. He was not breathing. He had no pulse.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord that God spared Fred's life, and Fred will be. We'll let Fred know. We'll let everybody. Let Fred know. We'll let Fred and his family know that everybody's praying for him, who listens to Today's Issues, because Fred's on with us, as Steve is, every day. Mm-hmm. Walker, what are we doing on that there internet today?
Sure, a couple things we're doing on the internet, on the World Wide Web. We're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, both places you can watch the show. And not only can you watch the show today, you can watch it Monday through Friday, 10 to 11:30 Central, assuming we have an internet connection here. Anyways, we're live streaming there. Another thing you can do, which many people do, thousands, is they download the app on their smartphone, and they download the AFR app, and they listen even when they're not around their FM radio. So multiple ways to connect to the show, and we'll be posting all the news stories that Steve and Chris Woodward talk about. We'll be posting on them on the Facebook page.
We want to feed people's addiction.
Yes.
To American
addiction.
Family Radio.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
It's a good addiction.
Check it out. Today's Issues live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, and you can check those sites out if you want to watch the show. So be in prayer for Fred and his family, and hopefully Fred will be back with us soon. All right, Steve, what's leading the news this morning on this Monday?
If you have been watching any of the national news over the last 3 or 4 days, it's an outrage. There is just the things that are going on at the border are inhuman. The separation and tearing and ripping of little babies from their mother's arms is, this is what what you're hearing from the media, is that they're separating children from families or from their parents and putting them in prison. It's not true. I will just tell you at the front that a lot of it is overhyped. But let me just play a little bit of what you're hearing on the national news. This is just a little montage that I came across, clip one.
The zero tolerance policy means zero humanity and it makes zero sense.
It's a disgrace, it's shameful, and it's un-American.
This is a choice that the Trump administration has made. It is inhumane. It is cruel.
President Trump, cease and desist, because you are moving the arc of justice to the heap of despair.
That is appalling, and it is un-American.
So that was
the
media.
About?
They're talking about when a illegal immigrant presents is caught crossing the border, and there are minor children with this immigrant. They separate the two. They charge the parent or the immigrant, the adult, maybe a parent, usually a parent, with a crime, and they're put into detention. Now, not federal prison, but they're put into jail. You can't take little kids with you to jail. So they take these kids, they separate them, and put them in a detention facility. I have a description of what they're like, but...
Well, whose fault's that?
The analogy I have been thinking over my brain is, why would you blame the bouncer when you bring your three-year-old kid to the bar with you? If you're going to a bar and you're going to go drinking, you show up at the door, the bouncer says, you can't bring that kid in here. You hand it to the bouncer, you go in and you start drinking, and right. The kid all of a sudden has no place to go, and then everybody gets upset because the bouncer is not right. equipped
Called
to handle the kid.
Social services.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So again, this is not the fault of President Trump or the United States government. This is the fault of those... people who are coming here illegally, you know full well that if they get caught, they're going to be separated from their children. What kind of parent puts their family at risk like that, Walker?
Look, here's the result. And this is typical of the left. They don't like any result except full amnesty, full legalization.
Open borders.
Open borders. Because here's the other alternative. All right, let's keep families together. We'll send the kids to the federal penitentiary. Oh, right. No. That's not fair.
Right.
Sending kids to jail? How on? Right. Do you have a heart?
Right.
No, they want the parents and the kids to go
right.
and the government rent out a house for them
right.
and give them a food stipend and let them go
right.
to school.
Right.
And the parents
open,
have
in
no,
essence, open borders.
Yeah, the parents have no punishment.
Right.
But the only way to, this is actually a very compassionate way to do it, and that is not send the kids to the federal jail. Instead, they put them in housing, provide care. Some of them go into foster care, and they provide education and food until their parents can somehow be reconnected. It's a tragic
yeah,
situation from the beginning. But as far as what the U.S. makes of it, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah, but now this has been going on for a long time, preceding the Trump administration. True.
Yes,
I have an article. I have an article here with me from the Washington Post from March of 2015. During the heart of the Obama administration. And during that time, the Washington Post reported that young Mexicans are being held for months without charge in shelters across the United States, sometimes without their parents' knowledge. So this was going on, and they weren't even telling parents they were where they were. Now that I believe they are, but they weren't even telling parents where they were. This is how they described these facilities back when President Obama was in charge of them. During the detention, they are questioned by U.S. authorities and then transferred to a network of facilities run by the Office of Refugee Resettlement. While confined, they undergo psychological evaluations, take English courses. Some are allowed tourist-type activities, such as going to the beach or museums. And at least one youth earned a high school GED while in custody. And I don't know if you remember a month or two ago when... The fake news media, and I use that term not a lot, but in this case it really does apply, because they had a picture of a bus filled with car seats, and it was the bus that takes babies to prison is what the mainstream media had labeled it. But what it really is, these are young child seats, not infant seats, and it was a bus to take these young children to the beach or the museum. It was an outing bus. And over the weekend, I heard numerous accounts of this kind of description of these facilities. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristian Nielsen was speaking just this morning at the at a sheriff's convention, New Orleans at the National Sheriff's Association, and she had this to say, cut three.
It is important to note that these minors are very well taken care of. Don't believe the press. They are very well taken care of. You know this, as many of you have detention facilities of your own. We operate according to some of the highest standards in the country. We provide food, medical, education, and all needs that the child requests.
So basically, people are complaining that the parents who have broken the law are now in the system going through the process of having their case adjudicated, and they're blaming President Trump for the fact that we won't send kids into the system to be sitting next to and standing next to their parents.
Yeah, but they wouldn't blame Obama.
No, I know. And this kind of process is repeated, who knows, thousands of times a day in this country when parents are arrested for selling crack out of their, house.
They're separated from their children.
They're separated from their kids. This happens all the time when parents... Now, I'm not saying these parents are like drug dealers. I am saying, though, when you break the law, you get separated from your children, no matter what you've done. And this is the fault of the parents.
You have to remember here that these parents are... guardians or whatever they may be, when they're crossing from Mexico into the U.S. illegally, knowing that there are border patrol, that there are laws against entering our country illegally, and you're bringing minors in tow, then you are the person who's putting them at risk of being separated from you. Not the laws of the United States of America. You've chosen to disregard the laws of the United States of America.
And this
is
the result of anarchy. This is the result of people ignoring laws, knowingly breaking the laws, and the people in this country that are supportive of breaking those laws, then they complain when
Now, these Democrats and the liberal media are trying to build this as a story. I don't know if it'll have legs or not.
Oh, it's had legs.
How long will it last, though, and how much may it hurt the president?
Until it stops hurting the president is my guess.
Yes. But you're right, Dad. This is a left-wing orchestrated media hit job.
They're running out of steam on the Mueller investigation. Nobody cares about the Russians anymore. Got to have something here. So let's say that Trump separates children and parents as if he is a dictator who is mean-spirited, who is intentionally doing this. As we've just described here, no, it's not him. It's the laws of the country that these folks are breaking, and they're doing this to their own families, and it's completely disingenuous and it's fake news for the Democrats to whine and complain. And
like Walker said, what they really want to see happen is the scenario that he laid out.
Yes,
they want to see them put up the government pay for them, put them all up in a nice house while they go through the process, or they disappear into the ether. And never to be seen again, and they become a part of this substrata of illegals and illegal families, and well, at least we keep the parents and the kids together.
And that's kind of what was where the Obama administration ended up with the catch and release program.
Right. Yeah.
It's just one more last thing on this. Your favorite comedian, Kathy Griffin. Tweeted out this. She's
all her CDs.
She's blaming Melania. She tweeted out, "Doggone you, Melania, you know darn well that your husband can end this immediately, you feckless, complicit piece of garbage."
That's code speak for, "Hey, Melania, you know your president can ignore the federal laws just like Obama did?"
Yeah. I cleaned that up, by the way.
Kathy what's her name, Griffin?
Kathy Griffin, yeah.
She's the one that had the severed head of the president.
Right, it's one and the same.
She's back.
Yeah. Anyway,
with great wholesome comedy.
So she's blaming the first lady for these children being separated from their parents.
Yeah, she's blaming the first lady. Yeah,
blame the president for everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's just they didn't do the, this was going on under the Obama administration. And there was no attention given to it then by the liberal media, the Democrats. It's only when when President Trump takes over that it becomes a mean-spirited American program, administered by the king of bigotry.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but this is not fake news.
Quite frankly, I don't think this is going to hurt the president, because I think that most people, the vast majority of people in this country, have already figured how this works, or else he wouldn't have been elected in the first place. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
I think it's a poor strategy on the part of Democrats, frankly, because it keeps the focus on how much illegal immigration is going on here and what the cost is. And I'm talking about the human cost, even to those coming across the border. So this keeps the president, and I just saw on Fox News, Jeff Sessions also addressing this, Attorney General. So this only gives the president more opportunity to discuss the issue of illegal immigration, just like when Nancy Pelosi defended MS-13. The president called them animals, remember? Right. Nancy Pelosi thought it was a good strategy, a good tactic, to defend MS-13, say they're not animals, which gave the president opportunity to say, well, they just cut this person's head off down and, you know. Right. So, they are animals, or they, at least they act like it.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Steve. Steve, next story.
On Friday, I believe, or Thursday afternoon, we got the first Inspector General report from the Department of Justice. This was a report looking at how the DOJ handled the Hillary Clinton email scandal. And for the most part, it took the Department of Justice to task, saying that Comey was out of his depth by interjecting all the stuff that he put in before the election about Hillary Clinton and the email investigation. He made it too public. The tarmac meeting was extremely unwise. But what they didn't find, at least they said they didn't find, was that there was a political bias in the Department of Justice's actions regarding the email scandal. Many are disagreeing with that assessment, but that's what they came up with. And I would also note that this is the first of a couple Inspector General reports that we're expecting. This does not have anything to do with the Trump-Russia connection. This has to do with how the Department of Justice handled the Hillary investigation. And, Walker, you probably have been following this and probably going to be looking at this on, or already did, with Exposing Washington.
Yeah, I didn't cover it in detail this past week because the report was released kind of late in the week, and it's
500 pages.
Yeah, 500 pages. But I will say some of the important things in there is that the Inspector General referred up to five current FBI employees for punishment or for discipline. So that's important. We'll see if that gets done. I don't think there's any criminal referrals in this IG report. There was the Andrew McCabe criminal referral a few months back. I think that's still pending. Who knows if he'll be charged or not. But nonetheless, at best for President Trump, it showed that he was well justified in firing James Comey.
And with regard to the criminal referrals, I believe they said that the findings are going to be made available to the FBI or whatever, should they decide they want to pursue criminal filings.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
A lot of the mainstream media will say this. They'll say, well, look, this report, this independent report proved that there was no political bias in the FBI regarding the Clinton investigation. But that is complete nonsense, because if you read the IG report, it is full of FBI agent one text FBI agent two about how much they hate President Trump. So James Comey may not have exchanged those biased text messages, but everyone, and I mean nearly everyone below James Comey, it displayed political bias against President Trump, then candidate Trump, and for Hillary Clinton. Well, guess who's steering the investigation? Not James Comey. He just signs paperwork. The agents doing the investigation. So there was political bias, and the IG report proves it.
Also, I heard something interesting last week on this, and that is some analyst was saying, you know, this should have been handled, this investigation into Hillary Clinton and her, you know, avoiding accountability by putting a server for State Department business in her bathroom. This is how this all started, right?
Right.
that this whole thing should have been handled by field officers, field FBI agents in let's say Washington, D.C. or New York, wherever it took place. Instead, it was handled by sort of top-level FBI people in Washington, D.C., who basically were running office jobs. They weren't day-to-day grinded out investigators. You see what I'm saying?
That's
here?
That's exactly right.
So, and they were saying that the higher you go in an agency, the more political the appointments become. Mm-hmm. So you have the top-level people investigating Hillary Clinton at the Justice Department, or the FBI in this case. Well, they were cheering for Hillary Clinton to win. Okay, you could by these admissions that we see, yes, by text and everything like that. Mm-hmm. At least the top four or five of them who surrounded this Call investigation. Me. So again, but the point was that the higher you go in an agency, the more political the appointment or the office is, and that proved to be true here because they didn't practice. The investigation of Hillary Clinton did not go by a standard procedure. You can tell all along the way here that she was given special treatment,
right?
Because of who she was, mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Well, and the whole idea that just because people can't be necessarily be charged with a crime, that nothing wrong happened, is ludicrous, and that's kind of what you're getting from the mainstream media. So. The fact that Peter Strzok, who was in charge of the Hillary, interview, okay, started writing the memo exonerating her before they even interviewed her,
right?
Did not interview her under oath, those right. kind of things. None of that is illegal, but when you look at it with unbiased a view, you go, that looks crooked. That looks politically crooked. Mm-hmm. And so this is part of the problem that,
every choice / decision that was made by the FBI in investigating Hillary Clinton benefited her.
And they had discretion to do so.
They used their discretion to benefit her. While it may not have been illegal, if you look every single time you get the benefit, you don't even put her under oath.
Right.
That the old expression on ESPN, come on, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You don't even put her under oath. Because
the news media is in bed with the Democratic Party,
yes.
They are not reporting this in an unbiased and actually in a way for which the media is designed to operate, which is to hold all political operatives, all candidates, all political parties, all members of the government, there to hold their feet to the fire. So when you have Peter Strzok do this, why isn't the Washington Post saying this guy should be X, Y, and Z? Why aren't they saying that? Because they're in bed with the Democratic Party.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. By the way, who made this phone number thing?
Good question. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Somebody made just like an office desk sign.
Yeah. I don't know who did that.
What number is it? Is that our number?
That's the call-in number. Oh, like
it's an art. It looks like an arts and craft from VBS.
That's probably what it is.
For the summer. I just wonder if somebody went
check
to
the Brian
Bible
Fisher
Bible
show. Maybe they've been having VBS this week.
Yeah, that's likely to happen. Though.
We're going to take a break right here, right now. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Congress is going to be addressing a new immigration bill this week. I've been talking to you about it repeatedly, but it's going to be happening this week. They're going to be taking a vote in the House on Thursday on one of two bills.
Please pray for the recovery of Fred Jackson. We'll hear news and analysis from Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we only go to the Holy Land once a year, and that's in March. Last year, we filled up several months in advance. So if you want to go in March of 2019, it's time to look at the details. You can get a brochure from us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your telephone number, or go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's going to be a wonderful time in Israel. We'll go to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Holy City of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Masada, the Dead Sea, and on the list goes. If you'd like to go with us in March of 2019, all the information is available at twholyland.com. Order a brochure by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. The political rhetoric surrounding illegal immigrant families is off the charts. Democrats are accusing the Trump administration of literally ripping babies from their mothers' arms, of holding illegal immigrant children in concentration camps. Liberal Republicans have also piled on. Former First Lady Laura Bush said the policy of separating children from their parents is immoral. But the reality is the illegal aliens broke the law. They knew the consequences. If anyone's to blame, it's the illegals. According to the White House, the number of illegals using minors to gain entry into the country has increased more than 300%. It sounds to me like somebody's trying to game the system. Yes, we must have compassion for the children, but if the Democrats have their way, there would be no borders, amnesty for all. We simply cannot and must not allow that to happen. We are governed by laws, not emotions. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you would like to send us an email, a positive, encouraging email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We have an email sensor that detects negativity, and so it'll bounce your email back.
So if there's a word like bozo in it, probably wouldn't get through?
I think that word's
okay. I used it on the air last week.
Did you? Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if it's coming to us and it has the...
Yeah. Well, they might be calling somebody else bozo that we would agree with.
Oh, okay.
Of course, bozo was a real clown.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if bozo would appreciate being used in a generic negative sense.
As a matter of fact, bozo was several clowns, and our own Charlie Butts was at one point in his life in
bozo?
Charge of training bozos.
Charlie trained bozos?
Charlie.
He worked in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, yeah. I know. Now he works here. He's still training bozos over the newsroom.
Bozo training the Clown. Bozos.
He really did. That was one of his
bozo
jobs.
Bozo the Clown used to have his own show back, in the 50s?
Yeah, but
or
60s? I think Steve's right. I think each major television
market
had their own bozo.
And they all went to training, and Charlie's job was to train them.
Train bozos.
Yeah.
That's kind of like Kleenex or those kind of products where they become...
The generic name.
They become the generic name. Yeah. There is actually
Coke
a company.
Coke is like that.
Coke,
in some places in the South.
Yeah.
You can be stopping to get a Sprite or a Dr. Pepper, but somebody will say, well, pull over, I need to get a Coke.
Yeah.
What kind of Coke do you want?
Right,
give me
exactly.
a Sprite.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Bozo.
Kleenex is like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get a Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand.
Yes.
But people use it generically to describe any kind of
tissue
paper.
Yep.
You know you have done well with your marketing when that happens.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, Steve, you were going to get to this story. Are you going to get to this story about 38% of Americans are satisfied?
We can go there
to that story
if you want. As soon as I pull it up, it's down in my stack here. we as a country generally are very happy with the direction that the United States is going. When asked just this last couple months, 38% of Americans said they are satisfied with the way things are going in the United States. And it's kind of similar to last, a point better than last month's. And it's the best that it's been since 2001, back in the George Bush days, right after 9/11, I suspect, was when that was. Remember when the country came together after 9/11?
And yeah, this is showing for the first time. Oh, it's above 35% for the first time since September 2005.
That seems rather low to me, though.
Well, I think Americans are pretty cynical.
Well, yeah.
Do we represent that?
I'm talking about all the other bozos out there.
Okay. But so what you're saying is maybe it seems kind of low to me when you say 38%, but that's about what it is. It was 30.
It was high since September 2005. I need to correct myself. I said yes. 2001, 2005.
Okay, 38% of Americans are satisfied with the way things are going in the United States. Now, that is a very broad general question, similar to last month's 37%, but marking the numerical high since a 39% reading in September 2005. So in so generally a high number would be 37, 38, 39% of polling all Americans on how they feel about the direction of the country. True?
Right. So, and this satisfaction rate is something that Gallup has only been doing monthly since 2001.
Right.
Which is what Steve was talking about.
That's the number I pulled. So Republicans, 68% of Republicans think that it's going in the right direction. 13% of Democrats, thank you very much.
Hmm. Well, that's...
How do you account for that split?
I don't know. It's something...
They don't like President Trump.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Yeah, me too.
I'm trying to carry on a serious conversation here.
I can
and
tell.
If you guys are always going to kid around...
Well, listen, but Tim, this is the thing. I just have this sense that the country's moving in the right direction. So,
okay.
So
we're
just
happy. We can.
So I'm happy, you know.
Okay. I'm just saying that, you know. Okay, continue on, Steve. Carry on.
Give us some other great news.
But that is good news for. I guess the people in charge right now.
Well, and I think what it reflects is a strong economy. Regardless of whatever else is going on in the world, when this country, when you measure how things are going, you measure the satisfaction, it almost always has to do with how the economy is going. If the economy is going well and people are not having to struggle month to month, they're seeing a little bit more of their money, they're just not quite as
stressed. They're happier,
stressed.
Steve, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you'll hear this in political campaign after political campaign. The red meat is the immigration or hate Trump or whatever
Bill Maher said he hopes the economy collapses.
Right. Did he say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hopes the economy collapses so that President Trump will be hurt and not reelected.
He said if it
causes people out there in the country to feel pain, he's sorry, but it'd be worth getting rid of President Trump.
Yeah, because he's not going to feel any pain. He'll still live.
He's 10 mil a year.
Yeah, he'll still live in his gated community. And
yeah, but that's the attitude of the left. Really?
Yeah.
That's reflective of the
To make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. So I believe that was Vladimir
Rush
Lennon.
Rush Limbaugh at the beginning of the
Vladimir
Obama
Lennon?
Administration.
Look that up.
John Lennon.
Rush Limbaugh at the beginning of the Obama administration said he hoped that Obama would fail. In the sense that his policies would fail because he didn't like his policies. But I think there was probably a little bit of we hope he doesn't have a very successful
I don't think Rush went so far as to say, I hope the economy collapses.
No, he didn't. He wasn't specific. He just wanted Obama to fail or his policies
to
fail.
Well, and I think liberal policies will fail because they don't work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately. They may sound like they work. They may sound great, but they don't work ultimately. And I think that's probably what Rush Limbaugh was talking about. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with... Ed Walker and Steve Jordahl. And by the way, is anybody here? Is it the World Cup that's going on in Russia?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's a big deal. I haven't paid attention to it.
I watched one game on Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
Is that every 4 years?
Every 4 years.
Kind of like the Olympics now. So it's being held in Russia. Is it all over the country, or is it just in Moscow?
I think they're probably the opening rounds are spread out a bit.
That is a big, big deal to most of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, we here in the U.S. have other sports that we pay attention to.
Prefer, probably, yeah.
Not soccer's. Soccer's gaining popularity in the U.S. as far as but I don't even think – are we fielding a team over there?
We have a team, a national team, but it did not qualify for the World Cup.
How can America's soccer team not even qualify for the –
Because we really don't care a whole lot about soccer to train our kids to play that well, I guess.
Well, for 25 or 30 years now, I've been watching the soccer fields of America fill with youth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how by now we haven't developed a national soccer team to compete with the world as big as our country is.
You see every four-year-old on the playground doing
That's
somersault.
That's what I'm saying.
But we don't have necessarily the same infrastructure toward the latter part of a career or out of high school to corral these people.
I think you're overthinking this thing, Steve.
Maybe I am. I'm having a serious conversation.
You're having a serious conversation, Dan. Am I right? Are y'all seeing all these youth playing soccer, these 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds all over America on soccer fields?
I see it, but I close my eyes when I drive by.
Why aren't they growing up to be?
Well, I'm not going to try to answer because then you're going to tell me I'm being taken too serious.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Because I'm a serious
It's a travesty.
Person.
We're not even – our team didn't even make the playoffs.
That's right.
We didn't even qualify.
Because we only have 330 million people here.
Right. You think Vladimir Putin's happy that America isn't there?
Probably.
Yeah, he's probably the reason. They probably hacked.
Probably colluded.
I got to tell you, when I see announcements that Mexico's taking on Iceland in anything, it's funny to me just to read that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Mexico and Iceland. I think it was somebody like that, Brazil v. Iceland.
Mexico. It was Mexico versus Germany, and Mexico won.
They did? They beat the Germans?
They beat the Germans, and in fact, the celebration in Mexico when they scored the goal was so loud that it actually registered
that's
on the
true.
Richter scale.
Yes, it did.
Wait, and repeat that again now.
Yes,
they just said that's
true. It was on Drudge this morning.
What happened now?
Go ahead.
The celebration when Mexico scored the goal.
To win.
To go ahead at the time probably when they won. The celebration in Mexico was so loud that it actually registered on the Richter scale. As like an earthquake.
So seriously, the whole country of Mexico is watching this, much like Americans watch the Super Bowl, probably even more so. And the Germans are an elite team.
They're the defending
Mexico beats them and scores the goal. They beat them, right?
They beat them.
It's like the U.S. beating the Soviets in 1980 or something.
Right. Except the whole country's watching this.
Right.
And it wasn't for the medal or a medal.
Yeah, but you're saying the cheers were so loud. People jumping up and down in Mexico that it registered on the Richter scale, which is the earthquake measurement.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know the thing is, in the small town where I live, we have a couple of Mexican restaurants, and you go in there, and soccer is always on the
24/7.
TV. Oh yeah, and they're cleaning tables, they'll be looking and watching. So it's a very popular sport, and frankly, I'm a little disturbed that Steve Jordahl, who's an American, knows so much about what's happening in the soccer world.
Would you prefer that we talk hockey? We could do that.
Can you talk hockey?
Well,
I'm just saying.
I would prefer that we talk hockey.
I'm just saying.
It's not an American sport either.
It's not the only non-native sport that we talk about around here.
Yeah. Okay, Steve.
Mr. Washington Post over there. You're fake news.
My wife would agree.
By the way, what is this massive swarms of bugs invading the World Cup?
Did y'all see that story?
No, okay. I'm not making this up. Massive swarms of bugs are invading the World Cup ahead of England, Tunisia. Oh, so England and Tunisia are going to tie up tonight. See what I'm saying?
Tie up.
Where else would you see these kind of matchups?
In the Olympics?
I still won't see it.
I want to see Costa Rica take on Iran. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm waiting on.
You might, actually. I think they're both in the – I don't know if Iran's in, but
Iran. And he's messing with us about telling a few jokes.
It's because he wasn't telling the jokes.
I want to see the Costa Ricans and the Iranians go and bring it in their own languages as they kick the ball down the field.
Hey, I will say this. I saw this. Someone had posted this montage comparing soccer players to hockey players.
Oh, yeah.
And showing the soccer players, they get a little bump and they fall and they writhe on the ground.
And that was going on a lot.
Yes, and they're writhing like they like they've had their spine broken.
Yeah, and then they get up and run around.
Then they get up and run around. And hockey players, it showed them, you know, getting thrown, you know, into the boards and into the opposing team's bench and fights and stuff. And then they showed one guy getting stitched up on the bench waiting to go back in. Yeah. And then they showed the soccer players. It was funny.
The idea that the hockey is the manly sport and the soccer not.
Although
so
I will
much.
Have to admit that rugby is probably.
Rugby is football without pads.
Yes, that may be a little bit more, even more manly.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. Walker's got us live video streaming on Facebook. Check that out. Facebook, we're live video streaming there and YouTube as well. Just type in Today's Issues, and Walker's posting the stories that we are discussing here on Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
3 years ago, this weekend on the 16th, President Trump made his fated trip down the escalator at Trump Towers with his wife to declare himself a candidate for president of the United States.
Is that 3 years today?
3 years on Saturday. 3 years ago on Saturday.
Okay.
And the press, as you might imagine, was not quite yet up to speed on the resistance movement, but they thought it was pretty funny. This is cut two. This is what they had to say.
I am officially running for president of the United States.
There are no words. How do you even have a straight face right now? There are no words to describe what just happened.
Ed Rendell, do you have any doubt that this is anything more than a carnival show?
The Daily News considers Trump a clown. The New York Post considers Trump a rich guy who could make it to the White House?
I do not hate Donald Trump, but I do not take him seriously.
Unconventional? Will people who love him love it? Yeah, but will it get him anywhere close to becoming the nominee or the president of the United States? I think not.
He can't win, but he can get a lot of votes.
While no one expects Trump to get close to winning the nomination, that doesn't mean that they're happy he's in.
Of course he's not going to win. He probably will make the main stage. He'll be one of the top 10 vote getters just because of name recognition.
Well, the question is, how can you become president? You can't by saying things like that.
Can we stipulate for the purposes of this conversation that Donald Trump will never be president of the United States?
Oh, my.
I love those kind of things. I really do. Every once in a while, if I'm feeling a little down, if I'm not feeling like America's on the right track, you know, sometimes I'll fall into that,
wagon. Let me just poll y'all then here. Did you take him seriously? President Trump.
Why did he have to go there, Tim?
No.
I want to know. I mean,
I take him seriously? Yes, I took him seriously, especially after the debate with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, when he came out after he won
the Republican
nomination.
I didn't. I got to be honest with you. When he won the Republican nomination, I thought, here we have the most damaged candidate ever in the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, and we're going to throw a guy that can't win the White House against him.
Well,
I
will say this, that when Donald Trump announced that he was running, I thought the same thing as all these media people, but I'm not in the mainstream media, so that makes me better than them.
Oh, that's true.
So even though we all agreed that no way Donald Trump was going to be in the White House.
So
Let's give Walker a chance to talk. Walker, tell us.
It's not that I didn't take him serious. I just didn't think he would. I didn't have an opinion on whether he would win or not. I just saw him do the announcement. I liked some of the things he said. And then it was like, oh, it's another one of the 15 or 16 candidates.
Okay.
So, but then as we started progressing and his poll numbers went up and he just started beating everybody in the primaries, then it became reality that, hey, this guy might win.
I'll tell you three words that lit his candidacy on fire and gave him separation from the field.
I think it was
at this announcement.
It was.
And when he said build a wall, then his numbers just shot up among Republican voters.
And he said it during the first debate. And that, I think, combined with his message as he was running, that was the thing that shot him into the stratosphere. He said something that none of the other candidates would say.
Well, he said a lot of things that none of
the other candidates would say. But when he said, build the wall, and then I think second debate, he said, I'm not even going to build it. Mexico's going to pay for it.
Right.
I mean, that. All the other Republicans were aghast. Probably not all of them, but they, and I think they continually underestimated him, but they were behind and trailing him from that moment on.
There are three things that, you know, looking back now, President Trump, because you played that montage. I mean, at first you're wondering if you, I knew Donald Trump from the, not that I watched it really, the Apprentice show, but it was the number one show on TV for like a decade. I mean, the guy had household name recognition. He didn't have to buy that. In fact, he spent a lot less money on his candidacy and his campaign than, most campaigns do, and spent a lot of his own money. But when he said build a wall, and then also he was smart enough to know that he had to build his credibility with the build a wall got him Joe Sixpack, okay? The guy out there maybe who votes Democrat, Republican, or doesn't vote at all, but they're just completely frustrated with this open borders, people pouring into our country, and nobody's doing anything to regulate it or to stop it. That resonated. Then secondly, that resonated with people. Also, it was representative of the Democrats and the Republican establishment being sort of in bed together on lawlessness is what a lot of people thought. But so you got Joe Sixpack out there. Then he said, I've got to shore up my relationship with the conservative movement in America, and related to that would be the Christians. And so he decided to name the kind of judges he would appoint. Remember that? Federal judges he would appoint and Supreme Court justices he would appoint. And he, like, unlike any other candidate, even Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, who was the most conservative of those running, I believe, President Trump said, I'm going to go ahead and tell you who I'm going to appoint. And that really solidified his support among the conservative base of the Republican Party. Go ahead.
I will tell you what it was that got me from he's an interesting candidate and he's the Republican nominee, but I don't think he can win, to I hope he can win. And I don't know that even on the eve of the election I thought he would win, but when he hit Hillary on that debate stage with his pro-life stance and described what a partial birth abortion was and said that Hillary was in favor of it and he would ban it, that's when it got my attention. Yeah.
And I think he got the attention of a lot of evangelicals.
Yeah. So he went from, can we really take this guy seriously, to obviously winning the White House. Of course, Hillary Clinton, she was a terrible candidate. So President Trump had that going for him.
Right.
And the fact that she didn't campaign in Michigan
or Wisconsin. Was Pennsylvania?
She did some in Pennsylvania. But the fact that they took Michigan and Wisconsin for granted will go down as a monumental mistake on the part of the Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And here we are now. You know, who's laughing now, right?
Right.
As far as President Trump was able to overcome all the odds and even overcome some of the things he said that were foolish, quite frankly, but I think that's
what basket full of deplorables, and
that was Hillary. But I mean, and now President Trump too. There are a lot of people who are attracted to his frankness, right? And to the way that he just bluntly talks. Now that can hurt you sometimes too, and it has hurt him sometimes too. He's got him into trouble, but on balance with a lot of people, they find it refreshing that he doesn't do political speak, that he speaks like an average person, even though he's a very wealthy average person.
Here's the mindset of the American
people. You own any golf courses, Steve?
I could use a golf course.
Okay.
Here's the mindset of your average Trump voter in the 2016 election.
Yeah.
I can go with Donald Trump,
right,
who says some good stuff and says some stupid stuff,
right,
but everything he says good, he's going to do.
Right.
Or I can go with a polished politician who never fumbles, never misspeaks, always says the right thing, gives the right answer, the right political answer. But who knows if he's going to actually do it or not.
You're talking about on the Republican side.
Yes. in the primary.
That's why he beat all the rest of them.
Yeah.
Senator Cruz finished second, I think, but it was a distant second. And now the other one's Jeb Bush. Low energy Jeb. That's what President Trump called him. Low energy. He faded. And when President Trump would, then candidate Trump, you know, like him or not, agree with it or not, when he would lay these tags on people.
Yeah. They stuck.
They stuck. Low energy Jeb. He called Senator Cruz lying Ted.
Yeah, this is like flashback Monday. But
Little Marco, Little Marco.
Jeb Bush put into the campaign?
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions.
Had raised a $100 million war chest before anyone else announced, I think.
He was the establishment's choice.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And
which, by the way, Romney is now looking to take the mantle on in Utah as he runs for the Senate in 2018. He wants to go and head up the establishment Republican resistance against President Trump in Washington.
Who does?
Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts.
Mitt.
Well, he was such a powerful candidate.
Yeah, I know.
Compelling.
When he ran in 2012, he's got a good chance. To
lose in Utah.
He does.
That's why he's in a runoff.
I know, he's got
a chance.
He's
a carpetbagger, isn't it? Isn't it what you call him, a carpetbagger? Yeah. They run around the country, find us somewhere to run for office?
Except he's Mormon, so everybody that's Mormon is kind of a citizen of Utah by default, I think.
I'm from the north, so I don't like throwing around the phrase carpetbagger.
Where'd that come from?
Civil War. After the post-Reconstruction, after the Civil War, when folks would come down to the South. And this is when my son goes, "You don't really know, do you, Dad?" And they could come down after Reconstruction to run communities and bring their carpet bag.
They would come down with money. Their holdings in a bag made of carpet.
Right, and then they would buy stuff up and
carpet baggers. But now they were a polka band too, very famous.
The carpet baggers, right? Yeah. Carpet baggers.
They were from Wisconsin. They traveled the country.
Saw them in concert.
Yeah. several times.
Okay, they opened for Boston.
They did open for Boston.
Yeah,
I remember
that's right.
That. It was the only polka band ever to open.
That's
right. For a rock band, the carpet baggers. And man, they were something else.
We have some funny Facebook comments regarding this conversation.
Oh, do we?
Steve really? And Alan and a couple others.
Yeah. They don't like the carpet baggers?
Well, no. Alan said, "When are we going to get the news?" Alan said, "Oh, we have a news story." Oops, guess not. And then Steve said,
"Okay, wise guys."
Steve said, "Actually, Alan, I usually wait until the third half hour, and in quote, he has till the horse play is over to listen to the news." So,
man, all right, you guys.
Could just sit here and let Steve read the news, and then we could go back to our offices here, but. You know, we're trying to bring some enlightenment.
I think some folks like
to
it.
To the discussion. Okay, Steve, next story. You got 1 minute.
I'll just
tell
go
ahead.
That,
let's get some news.
You know that Robert De Niro was in the news the other day for using some dirty
for things
words
you can't say on Christian radio
about
Steve.
Trump. Well, over just the other day, somebody he has a Broadway show, which was why he was at the Tony Awards.
Okay.
A Trump supporter disrupted the performance of Robert De Niro's musical tale, A Bronx Tale, on Saturday, standing up during the curtain call and displaying a "Keep America Great" flag toward the audience. So it looks like the conservatives are getting a little disruptive resistance of their own.
Turnaround's fair play.
That's right.
Tell you, that guy right there's got some guts.
I know.
Yes.
In New York City,
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Guess how many other conservatives were in that building?
Right.
None.
Three. There were three.
Maybe the janitor. And he doesn't say much.
I am opposed to disturbing those kinds of public events.
I know.
But that there's funny. I don't care who you are.
Well, if anybody had it coming, it was Robert De Niro.
Yes.
And all he did was stand up and say, "Make America Great Again," right? This guy here.
True, true, true.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Tim.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, Chris Woodward is on deck. He'll be here in 5 minutes. Ed Walker and yours truly shall return in a few minutes. We thank you for listening to AFR. We shall see you back here.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.